Your noontime look at the financial world. What's trending in Chicago business? The midday numbers. John has the Wintrust business lunch now.
John Williams, Pete Zimmerman's your producer. There's Bob Facuto. He's our producer today, or rather our engineer. And let's start with John Beaver from Phase 3 Advisory Services. Another good day on the market so far. So the capital R is now a small R, right, John? We're talking recession. We're talking about prices. We're talking about interest rates in the first segment. That's next on WGN. It is 12:11. This is WGN Radio. John Williams here. Thanks for dialing in on the Wintrust Business Lunch with John Beaver, president of Phase 3 Advisory Services, registered investment advisory firm and registered principal with Osaic Wealth, Inc. John, capital R or little r on the recession watch? What's your thought about that today?
Well, it's a little r, but do not erase the r. It's still a ways off, most likely. We're seeing only a few early warnings. But, you know, we're not out of the woods yet because of the timing. You know, we think that as soon as the interest rates go up, then there's a recession. Actually, it's a bit of a delay. And we're still seeing that the rates are rising. Fed just raised them this week. They've said higher for longer. And as a result, stocks are now getting a little bit pricey. So consider maybe getting defensive. Inflation is moderating, which is good. But as Jay Powell said, well anchored. So there's still a risk of maybe something breaking as they raise rates. And today's stealth issue may actually be the yen carry trade. Don't know we want to get into that. But the big thing is the recession. And where are we in this? And we'll want to review the map to the recession, actually.
Well, is the hard part, if you're a Fed governor, the idea of figuring out what the lag is and what the net effect is?
Absolutely. And one of their biggest challenges is that they don't really have a lot of control over the inflation issue. A big part of the inflation issue is actually the government spending, overspending. I shouldn't say they're spending, they're overspending when they borrow so much money. And the Fed's tool is not telling Congress, hey, cool it. The Fed's tool is raising interest rates, which is really kind of a blunt instrument to use this. So they use other things to kind of figure out what they're supposed to do, and it's these indicators. And actually, let's talk about that. So the map to a recession looks like this. It starts with the Fed raising rates, and we get an inversion of the yield curve. That's where your short-term rates are higher than your long-term rates. Now, we can live with that for a while, but usually in 12 to 18 months after that, then stocks start to sell off. Now, the inversion only occurred last October, so we're not even at a year yet. That'll come October of this year. Then about 6 months after the stock market, that's when we hit the recession. So, you know, if we had kind of the average timing, we'd be looking at maybe April for a recession, you know, no way to predict it, but we're just using history here. And there have been 12 interest rate inversions since World War II, yeah. 11 times there's been a recession, so it's not a guarantee that we're going to have a recession. And so that's a scoop. And then what does the Fed look at? Well, they're looking at the economic indicators, and those are still looking pretty good. Pending home sales up a little bit. This is stuff from this week. The new listings down a little bit. The GDP for Q2 up at 2.4%, and that's improving a little bit. The Fed's GDP now, which is a predictor of GDP, is still looking at 2.4%. Unemployment, initial claims down a little bit. That's good. Continuing claims dropped a little bit. So all this stuff actually looks pretty good. So if we look at that, we're not seeing a recession. However, some of the early warnings, bank loan growth is slowing. That's normal before a recession. Credit card debt is increasing. And some of that is coming from food and energy purchases, which is not good because that's consumption that's getting put on a credit card and not paid off. But overall, credit growth is slowing. That's also an indicator. Quality is dropping. Credit defaults are getting back to pre-pandemic levels, and we're seeing late pays increasing. And the bottom line of this is, yeah, even though it feels like we're watching paint dry, waiting for a recession, the business cycle has not been repealed.
I wonder, though, if you say the 11 out of 12 times after an inverted yield curve, you have a recession, and maybe that sample size is compelling, 12 and 11 times it happened, but this one is unique, isn't it? It's on the heels of a pandemic. We have an extraordinary amount of pent-up demand for home sales that when the interest rates come down, maybe we're going to unleash this wave of new purchases and the economy will stay robust. And the economy is doing very well right now. And the markets are recovering. I'm trying to push back on what I'm hearing is a little doom and gloom from you.
Yeah, not so much doom and gloom, because I would look at this and say a little recession would actually be a good thing just to kind of really try and cool inflation. And yes, it's not a guarantee that we're going to have the recession. There was at one time that we didn't. And this is very similar to the 50s and 60s, 1950s and 60s environment. And the recessions really weren't bad. And so we may have a little recession. It may be delayed. This would not be a terrible thing for the economy. So it's not something to be feared. In fact, it creates opportunity, especially when we look at where the markets are at this point in time.
Well, that's a lovely light to shine on this thing. The recessions aren't always that bad. You almost make it sound like a recession is a good thing.
It's an important thing because it's like breathing, right? You can't always inhale. You got to exhale at some point in time. It's like the tides. It's like the waves. It's the business cycle. Now, like I said, the business cycle has not been repealed.
Okay, we'll pick it up here in just a minute. That's a fascinating take on it, and I'm glad that you're on with us. We're visiting with John Beaver, and we're talking a little bit about the economy, big and small. He's the president of Phase 3 Advisory Services. Let's catch you up on those markets. Back in the newsroom, there's Kevin Wells. 12:21 on the Wintrust Business Lunch. We're talking to John Beaver from Phase 3 Advisory Services. By the way, John, one of our listeners just texted in and said, I've never heard so much talk about the recession that never seems to come. What do you say about that?
It takes a while for it to shape up. And because this business cycle is so well known, as soon as the interest rates inverted, there was talk about a recession. Remember, there is a delay, about a two-year delay from the time of the inversion to the time of the recession. Sometimes it can be really short of 12 months, but you're looking at 18 to 24 months. So yes, it feels like, hey, we keep talking about it. Is it going to be here? And it's not so much the issue of the recession that we should be thinking about as investors. It's really the issue of the pricing in the stock market. Where do we take, you know, what do we do with our investment portfolio? That's really the issue. That's a good question. I'm glad that they texted that in, because a lot of people are feeling that way. Is it ever going to get here? And maybe it won't, but the odds are it will.
So what will the impact be on our investments then?
Well, usually, again, the stock market sells off about 6 months prior to the recession, and that's when the stock market can see, hey, pretty clearly we're going to go into this. So it still comes back to the Fed. And what did the Fed do this week? They raised interest rates again, right? The Fed decision up 0.25%. So after the June pause, remember in June they paused, the Fed speak after that was predominantly about, you know, two more rate hikes. And here's, you know, what Powell said. He said that, you know, labor is strong. We're at 3.6% unemployment. Now, you know, these are his comments here just this last Wednesday. Listen to this. Wage growth is slowing, but inflation remains well above our target of 2%. The process has a long way to go. Inflation remains well anchored. High inflation creates significant hardship. We remain committed to 2% inflation. It will take time. We require a period of below trend growth. When we're looking for moderating growth and assessing further rate hikes, and rates are not coming down for a year. So what do you take from that? It sounds like they're going to raise rates maybe again.
Yeah.
That would not surprise me, and that pressures.
But are you also suggesting then that the market will come down? There's this 12-month, 18-month lag that you're talking about. And that pretty soon, look, we're within 5 percentage points of the all-time high on the Dow. The S&P's had a nice run, the NASDAQ. So are you suggesting then that pretty soon you should position some of those assets in more conservative positions so that when the market does go down, I know this sounds like market timing, but I'm hearing what you're saying. At some point, you should put it in more conservative things.
Yeah, so very, very good question, right? And this is the crux of this. So people are seeing rallies. That's great. Do they need to harvest some of that? Maybe they do. Is the market going to make a new high this cycle or not? I don't know. I can't predict that. That's too short on the timing. But we know this. There will be a recession. There will be a pullback. So the question is this time to get a little bit more defensive? And I think it's time to start thinking about this. Yeah. So we always want to make sure the 1 to 3 money the 1 to 3 year money's out of the market, right? But money that you need 3 to 5 years from now, maybe that now should start to be pulled out, depending on how aggressive or conservative you are. This is a good time to be harvesting some of those gains, making sure that 3 to 5 year money is on the sidelines or at least in bonds.
But you know, if you've been dollar cost averaging, the nest egg gets bigger. And since you were buying when the market was down so much, at least now you're finally starting to realize some of the, I don't know if profits is the right word, but put it this way. I know plenty of people whose retirements were at 50% of what they had saved when the market went down during the pandemic. And now they're at 95%. They've almost caught up. And now you're telling us, oh, that was as good as it's going to get. Now it's going to go back down again. And they feel like they're so close to finally breaking even.
Well, again, if that money is 10, 20 years down the road, they don't need to do anything. It's about that money that you need in the shorter period of time. Don't get lulled into a false sense of security that this thing's just going to continue to go up and go up and go up. So, and if you've been dollar cost averaging, you're actually sitting with gains at this point in time.
Sure you are.
Because you've been buying all the way
down
and all the way back up again.
I understand that. But I mean, you're right. You were buying when it was cheap, but it's still your portfolio. This is what a lot of people tell me. Their portfolio is just now having caught up to, they're not feeling rich. They're feeling whole. You're suggesting that you might get defensive now because the roller coaster is probably going to go back down a little bit.
Yes. And again, I'm not saying take all your money out of the market. It's know what money you need in the next 5 years and just make sure that's not in the market now at this point in time. And again, you've got time. You don't have to sell today.
No.
But this is the time to start assessing that and thinking about that.
5 years, you think. So the money that you're going to need for the next 5 years. But if you've got money in the market and you think, well, I don't care what happens to that for 7 years, I'll go down, keep buying, and it'll eventually come back up. But you think that window's that long, huh?
Yeah, I do, because you're taking a look at, you know, maybe the market starts to sell off in 6 months, maybe it's 12 months, and then you go through the recession, so maybe you have a year of the down and back up again. So, yeah, you don't want to put that at this point in time. I don't think you want to have that 3 to 5 year money in the market. 7 year money, that's fine. Keep dollar cost averaging. Let the thing run.
Do you think there's an area where it is smart to have your money now, small cap or international or energy, banking?
Yeah, so the broad market, the large cap, you know, that's really had a nice run here, and the market is starting to play catch up on the rest of the market, the rest of the stocks, small cap, and we're seeing that in the indicators. The last 6 weeks have been pretty good for small cap, beating large cap. Still, you know, don't forget about international. It's easy to forget about that because of, you know, everything seems to be concentrated on the U.S. And still there's an opportunity in oil. This could be years. And oil is also a feedback loop to inflation. And here's a couple of things. We haven't refilled the SPR yet, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. We need to do that. We can't leave it at this level. Oil companies have continued to cut their spending, which means less production in the future. That's not a good sign for inflation. So there's going to be some of that inflation pressure there. And these stocks are cheap. They've got good, strong cash flow. Dividends are supported. So I think there's an opportunity still there. I know it's not popular, but oftentimes what's not popular is a great place to put some of your investment money to work.
Got about 60 seconds left, and I don't want to get into the election, but that always impacts the markets and the economy. It seems like the government is sure willing to spend money. The Biden administration's poured a lot into infrastructure. Do you think that the election, the next presidential election, is going to change the math of what you've been talking to us about?
No, I don't think so. What's interesting is, you know, there's a lot of studies on this. We've done some studies on this. And the markets really seem to be independent of politics and independent of which party is in control. It's very interesting. We've had good markets in both administrations, bad markets in both administrations.
This administration is spending money, though. Do you think that the Biden administration plans are helping or hurting the market right now?
They're helping right now as we're getting some stimulus coming in, but ultimately this makes it harder on inflation. This is going to be an inflation fight, I think, for at least a decade. Doesn't mean we're going to stay at high inflation, but it's going to be something that will be persistently there to deal with.
Understood. And that's because of all of the money that came into the market as a result of the pandemic, though, right? The stimulus and so forth?
Yes, but it's also we continue to borrow a lot of money for spending, and we've got now to we have to now borrow a lot of money just to pay the debt on our just to pay the interest on our debt. You know, $34 trillion is an awful lot of money.
It is to me. John Beaver is the president of Phase 3 Advisory Services. Phase3advisory.com. Always interesting, John. Thanks for your thoughts today.
You're welcome. It's always good to be with you.
WGN Radio News in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom comes your way next.